Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at www.livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Business. If you need a offering envelope, just raise your hand and the ushers will give you an offering envelope. So they're just on the side. Just raise your hand. Also, in every one of your bulletins, there's one of these hard cards, and it's our Let's Go Get Acquainted card. If you're not filling it out, or even if you are filling it out, please put them in the offering basket because we're recycling. So we're trying to reuse these as much as possible. So please put it in the offering. I just have a little testimony that I just celebrated 5 years cancer-free. So I just want you to know that. And thanks to many of you and your prayers and your fasting and all of those things, because the Lord told me right at the start of, right when I got diagnosed, He said, put it on the prayer chain. And I said, oh, Lord, we can just, you and me and my family, we'll deal with this. I don't need to, you know, shout it from the rooftops, you know. We'll deal with this. You know, I'm okay. And he said, do you believe in prayer? And I said, yeah. Put it on the prayer chain, he said, because it's going to be the prayers of the saints that is going to bring your healing. So thank you for your faithfulness. And I just want to give that testimony. The other thing the Lord reminded me when I sat down that I forgot to say in the opening was in Psalm 34, where in verse 4, it says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And the Lord told me this morning when I was praying and seeking him on what he wanted me to share, that he's going to be doing this today. We had the prayer for being bowed down And I believe part of that is deliverance from fears. And there's fears of all kinds. So if that's you, I just want you to know that God is saying that I sought the Lord and he hears you. And he is going to deliver you from all your fears. Amen. And so now we get to take the offering. And I just wanted to look in Acts 20:35, just a real short, simple verse that you all know. And boy, God's giving us lots of opportunities today to be able to give with everything that Dave shared. Paul's talking to the church in Ephesus, and he's basically saying his goodbyes because he knows he's going to Jerusalem, and he's not going to be seeing anybody after that. And so he's saying his goodbyes and just giving him all his last exhortations before he leaves this church, you know, his children, the ones that he birthed into the kingdom. And in 35, he's talking and he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And among all the other exhortations that he gave the elders at that time, which was looking out for false prophets and doctrines and all of this stuff, he put that in there. He said, and remember what Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And we hear that a lot, you know, but I just submit to you to really meditate on that verse. Allow the Lord to give you revelation on that verse, because it's powerful. I know many times the Lord challenges me on giving, and the Holy Spirit always reminds me of that verse. And he just likes to give me lots of opportunities to be blessed, you know, because the blessing that he's talking about is coming straight from his hand, because that word blessed means favored of God, large, lengthy, fortunate. That's what's in that word. And it's talking about God directly bringing blessing into your life. And it's not always, you know, something we can see, feel, and touch. Many times it's on the inside, but it's both. So I just want to encourage you, in the times that we're living in, you know, none of us can see the future, and that can tend to bring fear, and we can kind of clench our hands with our giving and our generosity. And But, you know, God is saying that it is more blessed to give than receive. And we don't know the future, but we know the one that does. Amen? And he's in control of all that. I just, you know, as word of testimony, Wayne lost his job in June. And God told us two things at the beginning. And he said, seek ye first, seek my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you, number one. And number two was, oh, darn, I had it written down. Oh, yeah. That we were to pray that God would bless us so that we could be a blessing. Not just to pray for provision, but to actually pray for the blessing, that we might be a blessing. And so I exhort you today, pray for that. Don't just settle for the need, the provision. This book is full of work so that you can give. Look around, see where you can give. What you have, you can give. It's full of that. So I want to be able to do that, but I want the blessing so that I can bless others. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the blessing. We thank you for the blessing in our lives, Lord God. Lord, help us. Lord, we ask for increased measure of grace and faith, Lord God, that we can be a continued blessing, Lord God, not just in finance, Lord God, but in every way, that today we can be a blessing to someone in some way, however you want to use us in that way, Lord God, to be a blessing. So, God, we pray over these finances, Lord God, that you are bringing in, Lord God, and you're going to disperse out. We pray for abundance. We pray for increase, Lord God. We pray for wisdom upon our leadership, Lord God, that they will, number one, hear your voice and just disperse as you speak to them and give them the faith to do. So we thank you now, Father, and we give this all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Mary. Once again, we just thank you. You are a generous people. Just a bit of an update. We're doing all right with the finances. You know, remember a few weeks back, I had to come to you and say, you know, things are a little bit tough, a little bit short. We want to thank you for the way that you've responded. We want to thank you for your generosity as a people. It's a privilege to serve a people that are very, very generous. And it's just a cool deal to be able to stand up and say that. So, well, let's welcome Sean. How many appreciate Sean? You know, we had an elders and wives meeting just a couple of Fridays ago and found something out about Sean that I never knew before. We took this test that told you what your strengths are. One of his strengths is he's a wooer. Does he look like a wooer to you? Woohoo, yeah. But this is what a wooer is. He wins others over. How many have had Sean win you over? He's won me over, you know. Yeah, once, two people out there. I thought you had more of a fan club than that. I'm sorry. Bless him. Bless him as he comes. Thank you, Lord.
I was thinking while we were singing that song, Let It Rain, there's actually been documented cases in churches where rain has physically manifested in the churches. And, you know, it's always funny when something like that happens. The first thing the administrative people or the people that the maintenance team do is they go up on the roof to make sure that it's not leaking and stuff like that. But when we were singing that and I was sitting over there, I just felt the presence of the Lord come in so strong. And I'm always looking up wondering, all right, Lord, it's going to rain. It's going to rain, you know. I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my heart. And it's like, oh, just soaking, saturating, you know. So let it rain, Lord. Let it rain this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Wow, that's going to be loud if that's on. That's not on? Okay. Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving. I think it's Thanksgiving every day. It's a few days past, but hey, we got reason to give thanks every day, right? Over the, actually last year, my aunt has always held Thanksgiving at her house for as long as I can remember, but last year she was really battling with breast cancer, and she's recovered some from it. She's doing pretty good right now, and last year none of us went to sit at her table, and I was thinking, all these years, you know, my aunt has invited so many people in to Thanksgiving, to her table. She's always, you know, always welcomed them. Whether you were family or friends of the family, you were always, always welcome to come and sit at her table. My aunt's the type of person that will make so much food that if you took a little bit of every type of food and put it on your plate, your whole plate would be filled. I mean, it was like you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance of not stuffing yourself, no matter how many people are there. I think of my Uncle Leo. My Uncle Leo was the type of person that would, actually my brother's sisters, he's kind of like a step-uncle or whatever. But he was the type of person who would come in and just let you know blatantly, well, you look like you've put on a few pounds this year. Well, you know, or didn't you have more hair than that last year? You know, things like that. You know, my Uncle Leo would just, he's very blunt, very, very blatant, you know. And my, think of my grandma. You know, my grandma's gone on to be with the Lord now, but she's the type of person that years ago, you know, gossip and family were probably her main thing. She grew up in a little northern Minnesota town, and she had to know everything that was going on with everybody. But years ago, they had something called a party line, and we hear about this every year, a party line. And, you know, you would answer your phone based upon how many rings were there. Well, every time that she knew the amount of rings that were there, she'd pick it up because she wanted to see what was going on in Gertrude's life or whatever, you know. So, and they, you know, and they caught on to her, and every so often they'd say, Doris, are you listening? You know, and so, you know, I mean, all these people in my family, my dad and my aunt, you know, grew up in the, or had a real influential time in their life in the 60s. I always kind of joke around with my cousin because we weren't raised on Mother Goose nursery rhymes and things like that. We would go to sleep tonight to things like Nazareth, you know, music playing in the background or In a Gata Da Vida, you know, things like that. So one year, my cousin Melanie and I decided that we were going to look through Becky's albums, and we found In a Gata Da Vida, and we put it on, and we were listening to it, and as it was playing, you know, tears started running down my dad's eyes because, you know, that was him, that's his heritage, you know, In a Gata Da Vida. A long song, takes forever, and then he just, you know, things like that, you know, but what I was impressed with this year is not having gone to my aunt's table last year. We were all able to gather back again at her table this year. And I started asking myself, what qualifies me to come and sit at her table on Thanksgiving? It's because I'm family. We have a table that has been prepared. The Lord says that He prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. We have a table that we can go to, and we can become intimate with our Savior, with our Lord. We have that table that we can go to. And why would He do it in the midst of our enemies? Because it ticks the enemies off. It ticks them off. We can go and sit and be intimate with our Lord right in the midst of our enemies. And so I'm so grateful for Thanksgiving. I was able to just, you know, go and sup with them again, and it was great. So, but that's not what I was going to talk about this morning. So what I'd like to do is grab my props over here. Every good children's pastor has to have props, right? So I'm going to grab my props, and I'll be right back. And then what I'd like to do is have all the kids come up and sit up in the front, because this will be participation this morning. Both adults and children will be playing at certain times during the morning. So come on up and sit down, kids. And then I'm going to move one of these down here, if that's okay. You guys got to give me a little more room. All right. If any of you guys got your Bibles, why don't you run back and grab them and come back up? All right. We've been talking about prayer in the children's ministry back there. So this morning I just was impressed to continue along with prayer a little bit and then just give you the opportunity to share in what some of the stuff that we talk about. So all right. Are you guys ready? All right. Huh? In Jewish? I don't know. You mean Hebrew? All right. I need somebody, if anybody here has got a Bible up front, Josh, can you open up to Matthew 6, 9 through 13? Let's see if we can get this to work. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. You guys can turn to Matthew 6, 9 through 13, too, if you want. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Turn face that way.
This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Jesus told us that this is the way that we should pray. Today we're going to focus primarily just on Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have the banners over there that say, your kingdom come, your will be done. The other one over there, as on earth as it is in heaven. We want to focus on that today just because we want to know what his kingdom is like. We're asking his kingdom to come. We want his will to be done. Close, I almost got you. Here on earth as it is in heaven. So we should take a look and see just a little bit of what types of things are in his kingdom. What does his kingdom look like? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7, I'll turn there real quick. Matthew 10, 7, it says, and Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he says, as you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. So one of the things that we know about the kingdom of heaven is that it's near. In some translations, it says, it's at hand. Who wants to help me this morning? Raise your hand if you want to help me. No one of the adults do. Okay, good. Jamie, you can come up and hold up my sign, all right? Hold it up big so everybody can see it. It's at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's near. It's close to us, right? That means it's accessible. It's at hand. And it also means that it's close time-wise. It's coming. Our expectation is that the kingdom is going to be here. We can have the kingdom released. It's accessible. We can grab it, and it's also at hand. Who's ever made a paper snowflake before? Anybody ever made a paper snowflake? Joanna, can you stand up? Go ahead and make a paper snowflake out of that. What? You can't do it without scissors? All right. Okay. So I have scissors, but they're at hand, right? Okay. So now Joanna had to ask me, didn't she? She had to ask me if I had a pair of scissors so that she could know that, you know, so she could, whoa, where did they come from? They were at hand, all right. You don't need my scissors, I guess. That's what I was looking for anyway. Go ahead and make a paper snowflake. Joanna could not make a paper snowflake necessarily without the right tools. If the kingdom of heaven is at hand and it's near, we have access to things in heaven. We have access to it. All we have to do is ask and grab it and get it. What types of things could we get? We could grab healing, because in the kingdom of heaven, there's healing. What other types of things could we grab? Anybody? Raise your hand. Yep. What else can we grab? Well, we'll work on the sunglasses later. What other types of things could you grab in the kingdom of heaven and use? Anybody? Healing, right? Health, like blessings, right? Deliverances, things like that. Things we can get in the kingdom, all right. How's the snowflake coming? Can you show everybody? Joanna was able to make the paper snowflake when she accessed something that was in somebody else's hand, I guess. Somebody just happened to have a scissors, so that's great. There's the paper snowflake. All right, so we can do things once we have the things that are at hand. You know, these are some of the things that are in the kingdom of heaven I'm going to talk about this morning. I can't talk about all of them. If you start to read in your Bibles and study out what types of things are accessible in the kingdom of heaven or what the kingdom of heaven is like, you'll be studying a while because there is a lot of really cool things in there. In Matthew 10:7, he said, go and preach that the kingdom is at hand. In Matthew 3:2, John the Baptist stated that the kingdom of heaven was near. The kingdom of heaven was near. And then in Matthew 4:17, Jesus stated that the kingdom of heaven was near. So it's near, it's close, it's at hand. We have access to it. All right. In Matthew 13, if you want to turn there, 44, 45, and 47, it talks about the kingdom of heaven being something else or being like something else. Who wants to help? Come on up. You guys can stand up on the first step. It's like a treasure. It's like a treasure. And I'm going to go ahead and open to that because I did want to read that. Matthew 13. Matthew 13:44. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then, in his joy, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought the field. So it's like a treasure. Once he found it, he hid it. He sold everything he had so that he could go buy the field. It also says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found them, he found one of great value. He went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. If you go to 47, it says, once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. And when it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in the baskets, but threw away the bad. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. You have to seek it out. You have to look for it. You have to find it. Who wants to help me this morning? Give me a hand. I can't let you do it. And there's a reason. You can do it. Stand up. If I were to tell you that there is a prize, a treat, okay, taped to the underside of one of the chairs in the front row, and you could have it, what would you do? Go ahead and do it. It's taped to one of the chairs under the front row. Well, you don't have to lift them up, but just get under and look. It's somewhere in the front row. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. She's looking. She's looking hard. She's looking for one of the chairs under the front row that has a treasure. Sometimes we have to look for the treasures. We need to look deep. We need to find them. We need to pursue it hard. Kingdom of heaven sometimes isn't somewhere where we can see. Could be on the other side, too. No, that's her keys. It could be on the other side, too. It could be on the other side. It really could be on the other side. No, I mean the other side over there. It could be over there. Hey, you know, sometimes God has to do that too, right? It could be over there. You know, just point us in the right direction so that we could go after the treasure. And when she found the treasure, she found it. Sometimes we have to pursue it. You can have it. It's yours. And you don't have to sell everything you got either, so. You may have to seek it out, but boy, when we seek it out and we find it, you said found it. You got excited and everybody rejoiced with you. Right? All right. All right. In his kingdom, in God's kingdom, some of these things are evident. Some of these things are evident. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. It says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I'm fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something that is as unclean, then for him, it's unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother from whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Paul was talking to some people who were running into offenses because people were eating things and calling them unclean or clean or not a clean or whatever. And all of a sudden that started dividing people. And he said, these things are evident in the kingdom of God, not the offenses. It isn't about what we eat and drink. It isn't about what certain people believe versus what other people believe. We're supposed to have honor with each other. We're supposed to embrace each other, and that you know, look to God as our light into our path. So Paul was saying these things are evident in the kingdom of God. He was saying righteousness. All right, who wants to help me with this? I need another person. Josiah. Righteousness. There we go. Righteousness. We are not righteous because of our own good. We are righteous because of our identification or the way that we believe. We are identification with Jesus. The fact that we have made Jesus our Savior, we become righteous. In Romans 3, 21 through 24, you can read that. So I need another person to help me. Okay, you can come. So, righteousness is like being made a king. It's like having a crown, right? Now, what have you done to deserve being a king?
Nothing.
Nothing in your own mind, right? But because you identify with Jesus and what Jesus paid on the as a price on the cross, he said, because of your identification with me, righteousness is yours. You can do nothing in itself in your own strength to deserve being a king. But righteousness is yours because you identify with me. So this is part of what it's like in the kingdom of heaven. This is the types of things that are there, righteousness, okay? It also says peace. It also says peace. Who wants to help me with that one? Ben? Peace. All right. We got peace, all right? This one's really fun for me. I was thinking about this, and it's kind of fun because this is what it's like. Who knows in here, adults, you guys can just scream it out, who is the Prince of Peace?
Jesus.
Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right? Sometimes we get, now this is about how big the devil really is. I don't think he's any bigger than this. He's just a little pipsqueak, right? Right? But sometimes this guy will start speaking into people's ears and talking to them and saying offenses. Like Paul talked about, some of the things that they were talking about was food, right? Is this clean food? Is this unclean food? Right? So I need one other person to help me. You can help me. All right. Here's what you get to wear. Right over here by the peace sign. I need to quickly turn to a scripture. Romans 16. And you guys can all turn there. Romans 16. Romans 16, verses 17. It says, I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites, by smooth talk and flattery, they are deceived in their minds, naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. And it goes on in verse 20 to say this, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He doesn't say the God of peace is going to crush Satan under his feet. He said the God of peace is going to crush Satan under your feet. So, here you are, chilling. You're chilling, right? And all of a sudden, obstacles could come in his way. Things could happen. But he's chilling. And all of a sudden, might start feeling some things that are, oh, that's not right, that's not right. That's because Satan starts whispering things. You're still chilling, but this is how cool God is. God's going to come and beat the snot out of the devil. He's going to beat the living tar right out of him. And then he's going to come over and say, good job. Yeah. Good job.
Yeah.
He beat up the devil, but he gives you all the credit. He says he's going to crush Satan under your feet. Under your feet. No, who cares, right? He's the devil. Right? That's how cool God is. All right. Another sign. Okay, you can go down on the end and hold this one up. We got to move fastly. Joy. I need somebody to tell me what they think is a really hard job. Something that's a really, really, really hard job. Go ahead. Tell me a really tough job. Whoops. Is it on? Yep. Go ahead. Tough job. Quickly.
Emptying the dishwasher.
That's a tough job. Yeah. Anyway, guy agrees back there. Absolutely. Tough job. All right. Shh. Okay. Now I need someone to tell me something that is really exciting coming up that they're looking forward to. Over here. Something that you're looking forward to.
Wolf Ridge.
What's going on at Wolf Ridge?
Our school, well, the sixth graders get to go to Wolf Ridge. It's an outside activity thing
tomorrow,
and it's for 4 days.
Okay, and what time do you leave in the morning?
Six.
6 o'clock in the morning. All right. Here's what joy is. Joy is overcoming an obstacle or looking beyond an obstacle at the promise that what God has given us. We should always have joy in our heart because the promise is there. Now, if at 5:59 in the morning, your mom said to you, you need to empty the dishwasher, would you agree that that's a circumstance? Yeah, that's a circumstance. That's a problem, right? We need to get the dishwasher emptied. Oh, man, I got to leave right now. I don't have my makeup on. I haven't done my hair yet, right? That's an obstacle. How am I going to get beyond that? Joy is continuing to look at the promise that God gave us. Can you hold the side up? Oh, you got it upside down. Flip it over. There you go. Flip it up. Hold it up high. Joy is looking beyond the obstacle, looking beyond the obstacle and going to the promise. All right. Kind of like the butterfly, right? Start out as a caterpillar crawling around on branches. Gets kind of tough. It's an obstacle, but the promise was that it's going to become a butterfly. Ooh, you okay? All right. So joy. These things are evident in the kingdom of heaven. These things are all evident. We've got joy. We've got peace. We've got righteousness. We've got a treasure. It's like a treasure, and it's at hand. It's accessible. Josh, can you look up Matthew 10:5 real quick? We're going to kind of wrap this up. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5. We've been given some marching orders. And we've been given instructions. Go ahead, Josh. 5-8. Here's our marching orders.
These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach the message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give.
Why should we do it? We need to continue to pray. Why should we do the things that he's asked us to do? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Why should we do these things? Because freely we've been given, freely we should give. In order for us to raise a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, like in Matthew chapter 10:8, this kind of generation, then we're going to have to take this seriously. This is kingdom business. This is kingdom business. These guys up here, they don't have any fear, trepidations, any thoughts that would think that they know otherwise than the fact that Jesus told us that we could raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. We can do those things because Jesus freely gave it to us, so we can freely give it to you. How does that look like? A couple Saturdays ago, Pastor Bob was wrapping up the revival meetings on Saturday night. And he was asking some of the kids and the adults that were there for words of knowledge. And Ben had a word of knowledge for Brittany. Well, he didn't know it was for Brittany at the time, but he said, Benjamin, my son, he said, I felt somebody had a pain in their ankle. Somebody had a pain in their ankle. So Brittany came up, yep, that's me, I have a pain in my ankle. And Bob said, okay, that's good, but which ankle is it? See, Bob was encouraging, what? Oh, yeah, to Ben. He said that to Ben. Bob was encouraging him to dig deeper into his heart to find out exactly which ankle it was. And Bob's like, okay, it was, he's like, what's the first thing that comes to your head? And Ben said it was left ankle, right? It was the left ankle. And sure enough, it was the left ankle. And when we did that, the whole place went, woo, they all cheered. He was digging deeper into the things of the kingdom that were within him, and everybody cheered when he received that word that it was her left ankle. And we prayed and prayed and prayed and started out at like a 5 or a 6 on the pain scale, got down to about a 1, and then it kind of, we just kind of had Brittany go back, and we said, okay, God's going to heal you. And before the end of the night, Brittany's ankle got to a 0. And that's what the kingdom looks like. That's what the kingdom looks like. He's got those things for us. The kingdom looks like this. When my son Josh and I and Ben go golfing on a late afternoon and we end up in Dairy Queen prophesying over people, and because the Lord's given us words of knowledge, and people are getting set free and healed at Dairy Queen and Zimmerman. You know, I mean, that's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. That's what it looks like. Kingdom of Heaven looks like this, too. Alice coming into our classroom a couple of weeks ago and telling our kids that she prayed with a guy before he got on an airplane that was terrified to get on an airplane. He has a terrible fear of airplanes. He was terrified. So she prayed with him, gets on the airplane, and he's laughing hysterically after she prays with him. He's laughing hysterically, and Alice went up and said, what was causing you to laugh hysterically? And he said, well, I looked out on the wing, there was an angel underneath the wing, and he was smiling at me. That's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. You know, these are the types of things that we're going to expect, and we're going to know, and we're going to see. So thank you guys for your help. You guys did awesome. Go ahead and put this stuff back. One last thing I want to say. The word tells us that we are an epistle, that we're something that's read of all men. In the old days, they used to have something that they called a sandwich board that kind of went between, and, you know, they were like walking billboards. So I need one person to help me, one more person. Josh? Question is, what kind of a message are you going to bring? Stand up. I think that maybe this is the message we should bring. God is in a good mood, and he's happy. Whoops, did it break on you?
Yeah.
All right. I'll just put her through there again. So, the message that we're going to bring, I think I needed a really big person for this, didn't I? All right. Go ahead and walk up and down the aisle and tell everybody, God's in a good mood. All right. If you guys could go back and sit in your chairs, that'd be great. Thanks for your help.
Thank you.
Thank can just put it over there. And in the famous words of most of the announcements, Pastor Dave, back to you.
Awesome. Good job. We are going to break bread together today, and we're going to do it just a little bit different. And I can see that we're going to be late. So if you need to leave, please feel free to leave, but we're just going to take time and celebrate communion. We're going to do it a little bit differently than we normally do it. Joanna is going to do a dance that is going to bring the elements out front here, and we're going to be released as families and just come and make a celebration out of communion. And we're going to call a worship team up, and we're just going to worship for a while. So if you need to leave, please feel free. We understand. But we'd encourage you, if you need to leave a little bit earlier, kind of get up and take communion first before you go. And everybody will be okay if you butt in front of me. I'll be okay if you butt in front of me. That'll be all right. So in the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. After he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, "This is my body that's broken for you. As often as you eat it, think of me. Remember me. Consider my broken body. Consider that this body was broken for you." That we can follow what Sean just preached on, that we can take the kingdom into the streets and bodies can be healed. Lepers can be cleansed. The dead can be raised because of the broken body of Jesus. Because of his brokenness, it brought healing to us. In the same way, Jesus took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the covenant of my blood. As often as you drink this cup, remember me." So, Lord, we do, as we celebrate today, Father, we just want to make this a time of proclamation that your kingdom is made available to mankind once again because of your broken body and your shed blood. That because of the new covenant, Lord, we can receive everything from your kingdom.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in our area or plan on traveling to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our website at www.livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.